Blog Talk Radio.
October 30th. Yeah, one day before Halloween. It is Devil's Night tonight. Be good. Spank your mama when you get home if you're working. Scotty, you're here. Glad to see you.
Yes, sir.
Glad to see you. I'm hearing you. Got a lot of phone numbers here that I don't recognize. A lot of 313s, which
please,
is always
press one.
Yes,
please press one. We love to hear from you.
Let us hear from you. I would like to hear from these people. I would. You're some good people, you know, good UAW brothers and sisters out there.
Yep. There's more good ones than there are bad ones.
Oh, hell yeah. And the ones that are slinging mud on people that are running for offices, all these offices, they should shut the fuck up. Shut up. You don't have balls enough to run yourself. Shut the fuck up. Let me get 313. Another one.
Good evening. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Jesse because we're out of local 598.
Hello, sir.
How
good
you
evening,
doing,
everybody? Doing great. Awesome meet and greet today.
All right. Good. Good. Local.
It went well today.
Yes. Absolutely. It was
awesome.
Nice to be in company with a lot of like-minded people, and it was nice to see some people that sacrificed their time and traveled quite a distance out of state for their support
good.
For this cause.
Wow.
Well,
so. That is awesome. That is great.
It is.
I'll
now,
enjoy
are you, the, are you the person who called in last week?
I did, and I stayed muted for the record. I stayed muted, but I called in about almost an hour into the show.
Okay. So you're not the temporary called in then, right?
No, I'm not. I'm actually
okay.
2012 hire.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
let
you're
get,
the face deal now, right?
Hey, Jimmy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Who's
I
there?
Didn't hear anybody.
Okay, hold on. Everybody's talking over everybody. Jimmy, how are you doing?
Doing good. Just got back from the meet and greet, Fowlers. It was great. I met some really young guys from, I'm going to say, Chrysler down there. I met some people from Kentucky down there. I met some people from Fort Wayne down there. I'll tell you what, a lot of members across this country are pissed off at Ray Curry and Sean Payne.
Good.
I'm going to say it like brother told me. If you're happy with Curry's done and Fane's done, vote for it. If not, vote for somebody that gives a shit. Take it away, guys. I'm muting.
Yep. You're right on the money, man. You're right on the frickin' money. Damn right.
So the gentleman from 598. So you're at full pay scale now, right?
Sorry, I had you on mute.
Okay,
say that
I'm
again.
Sorry. So you're at full pay scale now, right?
Pay scale as of September with the current GM contract, yes.
Okay, so that's what, 28 and some change, if you don't mind me asking, right?
Nope, I don't mind. We're all your brothers and sisters, 32.
There you go. Awesome.
Okay, so you're in line with the conventional then.
No. Back up. He ain't got no fucking pension.
Wait a minute.
That's right.
Yep.
If you let me
fill in on this, I can, because I was on the show, but I didn't feel comfortable chiming in last week because you guys had another brother on there that was giving information, and I did want to clear a little bit of that up, if I might, regarding some of that. So when it was brought up, talking about how GM and our international said that everybody would be able to max out in this contract, that's if you qualify. So many qualifiers. if you qualify. And the thing is, leaves are one thing that stop you from doing that. Any form of a leave, if you are not compensated by the company, then you don't earn that 52 working weeks. Now, there's two different ways to earn your top-out pay in this contract. One of them is you get a raise every 52 working weeks, and then you also get that percentage raise every year. But that is for people like me who were at that top-out rate during the last contract moving forward into this. If you were hired after the contract that we're in now, the 2019 contract, that's not going to apply to you. The system is still set up no different than 2015 with the contract to get 8-year minimum climb. Now, when we're talking about topping out right now in this contract, even Tier 1 employees were not going to top out under the new increased wages in this contract until by the end of this contract. Now, with my top-out pay being this year, it should have not actually been until next September. And I don't know the exact screw-up in language, but a union brother discovered that there was a discrepancy in our national language that it said that the company and the international union missed that there was a language discrepancy. And so that drove us to then progression to get a raise pretty much backdated from the contract when it was ratified. It ended up getting us that raise 1 year earlier, and that was paid out in the winter, spring of – the raise was increased immediately. I think it was in the wintertime of 2020, and then back pay with it to catch us up to go along with the language discrepancy. So basically, the company screwed up in securing language that made sure we weren't getting that raise, because you don't get raises at the start of a contract. They usually line them up where you get them the second year and the fourth year, right before the contract ends. And then these percentage raises that or lump sum bonuses have always been the first year in the third year.
Right.
That way, if you don't meet those qualifiers to top out in the current contract that you're in, now you're on the limb of what's going to happen in the next contract. Therefore, it's not guaranteed if it gets negotiated differently. So,
yeah. Let me get it. We got another caller. We got a lot of callers in here. Push one on your keypad. But let me ask you folks to mute yourself if you're not talking, please. We get a lot of background noise, and I've got emails about that. So please mute yourself if you're not in the conversation. T&J 2007, good evening to you. And Scotty says good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
810, you're on. You're on with
us. Stephanie. I'm just here in case I want to comment. This is Stephanie.
Okay, Steph. Very good. Very good.
Yes.
These pretty wimpy calling. I shouldn't have never retired. I should have never retired. All these pretty
guys. I'm gonna mute.
Okay. Let me get 313. You're on. 734. You're gonna be on here in a minute. You are on.
Good evening.
Good evening. Oh, there you are. Adrian.
Y'all all right?
You were groovy. Yes, we're doing fine.
All right. I'm going on mute. I'm on the road.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Adrian.
And we got another 313 you said joined us?
Yep, 313. Is here.
That's you, Brother Ray. Push the button. I want to talk to your ass.
There you go.
I don't think we'll have to worry about Ray Curry calling on this No, for some reason, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Just
that's
a thought.
Kind of given, Scott. They ain't even got a record to run on. You know, they can't run on their 50-year record of negotiating. It's shit.
Right.
They got to badmouth people. People, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. They're as bad as the Democrats. They're lying and telling you they ain't even sticking it up your butt. But ain't your ass sore? Because I'm tired of getting screwed. I'm tired of copays. I mean, Don, have you looked at this new prescription drug company we're going to? We're going to get fucked again.
Oh, no, I didn't read it. I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh, gosh. They just put it right into you every chance they
and
get.
And why are
but
we
now,
going to
minute,
new?
Wait a minute, Don. Excuse me, Scott. But wait a minute, Don. Remember, they can't negotiate for the retiree. But you motherfucker, yeah, you can take away, can you not?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like you watch, they're going to go to an 8-year, a 6-year contract, so your 8-year in progression is going to turn to 12.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I tell you what, anybody who votes for anybody that's been in the Solidarity House, I don't care if they're a janitor, I wouldn't vote for them. Tell me they didn't know. Somebody was buying $50 cigars and $200 bottle of wine and staying in these lavish hotel rooms in suites and having parties. Don't tell me you didn't know something was going on. I'm not going to buy that at all. And you kept your mouth shut. And shame on you. That makes you guilty as hell as far as I'm concerned.
I'll well, you got it. Somebody on the ballot right now that was buying $95,000 worth of backpack to take to a conference.
Damn. Wow.
What is his name? He's running for Secretary Treasurer. What is that? Frank, is it?
Struggling.
Yeah.
But he's struggling, Carrie. He's struggling like hell. I don't know how many backpacks they got on him, but I heard that Margaret's making a mock of him.
Yeah. Yes, she did. And that was hilarious.
Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Jimmy will be
You're on point tonight, my friend.
Jimmy will be on Jimmy Fallon show tomorrow night at 11:30. Tune in. NBC.
No, I'm sorry, Don. I'm a gut feel kind of guy.
Oh, there you go. I'm a gut felt myself. We'll put you on with Mr. Gutfeld and the nice lady and the big gentleman.
Tyrese.
Yep.
Yeah. Me and him are going to work the door at Solidarity House when Brian runs. Rock on, brother.
Hey.
Well,
right.
I'm just trying to figure out why he's even on the ballot, because that's even in the last monitor's report. So why is he even allowed to run?
Carrie, can I ask you something? I agree with what you're saying, but that's no different than Ray Curry taking them football tickets and then 4 years later, oh, it was a foul. Pay me back and we'll forgive you. What, did he go to church and have a confession? Wake up. It's our money.
No, you know what happened? You are so correct on that. And what happened was when they started digging around, they found that out, so then he had to repay it. But you're not even supposed to be doing that.
That's what I mean. He shouldn't have been able to repay. He should have been removed as a candidate. That is a breach of our Constitution.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
So you got two people that are currently in positions that probably 100% shouldn't even be on the ballot.
Well, think about this. You got a monitor, Carrie. I know, but Carrie, we got a governor, a government person, but they got three names. They got to pick who was going to be the fox in the chicken coop. So all they had to do was find out what greases this fox. Apparently, they found, because he sure the hell ain't for the membership. I have a friend that's been in plants. He's got four ballots. What the fuck?
Wow.
Well,
old ballot. Jeez, isn't that nice? Let me get 786. Go ahead, Carrie.
That must be the boat. What is it? Boat. What did Curry say in that video? Boat often.
Boat often, and let's see what else.
What did he say? What was that quote? That was the craziest shit I ever heard. I said this guy.
Vote early, vote often, and mail, people, mail.
Yeah, make sure you get your ballot in. Yeah.
And we have deceased members that their family's getting ballots. We got people that are getting ballots that have moved into homes that had former UAW members who are now deceased getting ballots. And like Brian said, they could have pulled all, Brian Keller said, they could have pulled all the locals and updated them, that monitor, requested they be updated, but he failed to do that. We got some real clowns in this.
It sounds like it.
What got me about that, Carrie, is we, as members of this union, spend a great deal of frickin' money for accounting, whether it's at the local, the regional, or the international staff. We spend a buttload of money. You're going to tell me the monitor couldn't say, hey, you got 7 months, get all these addresses right? I ain't buying that shit. That's why he said vote early, vote often, and mail.
Uh-huh.
Because they're telling these people that got these ballots at the wrong address or deceased number to bring them to the local. What's to say they ain't feeling that son of a bitch out and mailing it in from there? We'd never know.
Exactly. So if you get a ballot from somebody who is deceased that was a UAW member or who no longer works there, please contact that monitor. Call them.
No, Carrie. Please vote for Brian L. Keller. Yeah, vote for Brian L. Keller, Mike Turner, and that mock lady. And mail that bastard in, right, Ray? Vote early, vote often, and mail that bitch.
Well, that would probably be, you know, their plan.
Well, I don't agree with Jimmy sometimes. That'd be one of them. Well, let me get 4-4.
An eye for an eye, like the good book says.
I hear you, Jimmy. I hear you. 440, you are on.
So I'm just listening.
Oh, okay.
You guys got a right to be mad.
Right
to be mad. You know, it seems I guess I will inject. It seems to me that everybody's pointing to the monitor and directing to the monitor, but if you look at everything that the monitor has done to this point and all the indiscretions that have happened under his oversight, you know, from the convention to, there were several items at the convention. One thing, a vote that was voted down, put up for another vote, a vote that was already passed, was tabled, and then later rescinded. The entire rules for the entire election, from the excluding of retirees to pretty much the IEB is telling the monitor what we're going to do, and they go along with it. So this last bit right here, the way to correct it, under monitor oversight, these ballots, these potentially, I don't want to say they're fraudulent because they aren't until they're cast, potentially fraudulent additional and extra ballots are being injected into the race because of, well, it almost looks like it's complicit. You know, when you've got the leader of the international instructed, now it could be passed off as political banter, you know, that can be argued. But he's given explicit instructions to his supporters on what to do with these ballots. And there's a lot of extra ballots. Like, we're talking thousands being ejected. So, So the thing is, their correction or their solution is you're supposed to trust that the monitor has systems in place on the back end that they're going to catch. They might catch duplicate ballots. But how do they verify that these ballots were cast by people who were legitimately eligible to vote? Without an ID verification, it's impossible. And by them directing you to the monitor, I think is a way to keep it in-house. You need to contact the Department of Justice. You need to go above the monitor's head and let them know, because if it is on the monitor's shoulders, there's been indiscretions within the union that the monitor did not. He threatened to go to the DOJ about the what they were covering up out of one of the regions. But as far as I know, he never did. So that tells me
that is who
he answers to. That is who you need to report to. Report to the Department of Justice, because that is who the monitor reports to whenever the union's not doing what they're supposed to. I said my piece.
You have to go through the adjudicator after the monitor. Always follow the steps. Monitor, adjudicator, Department of Justice.
Yeah, but wouldn't the election be done at that time? And possibly the person that did not garner the majority vote be seated in the meantime while you're waiting to go through the process? And then after the fact, well, maybe you should just report to all three. Report it to the monitor, report it to the Department of Justice. That way you're not missing any timeline.
I didn't tell you how long to wait, did I?
Right. No, but I'm saying, you know how they play. Even when it comes to agreements, they'll lock you into the steps, and they'll try to exhaust your time to where you can't do anything about it. Well, if the same thing happens during the election, you know, what are we going to be, 3 years past? We're going to be into the next election cycle before there's any resolution or they even make a decision. And at that point, they'll say, well, hell, it's been 3 years. It's already too late to do anything about it.
Right.
Can I say something? This is Karen Bell. Can I say something?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
About this? Okay, on this particular subject, I have two appeals in right now. One was about the candidate's name, and the other was something dealing with my name. There's a I'm driving, I can give y'all the section, but it's called
I read part of it.
Yeah, the pre-election, all this stuff is going on right now. The reason, the logic in the pre-election is that you have an opportunity to raise your concern now before the election.
Right.
So that's
before the result.
And you go to the OLMS. Right now we're under the OMLS. You go, it's certain things that go to the adjudicator, and it's certain things that you can go right now to the OMLS. So you say, this is a problem. You tell them, the OLMS is the labor standards. Once you've exhausted
Department
your
of labor standards.
Yes.
Office of Labor Management.
Yeah. And I'm driving,
we need that contact information. We need to post that on the website.
I'm going to get it to you guys, and we need to do that ASAP. And all of these problems.
Agreed.
This is a free, and we need to flood him with it. I don't care if he's on the line. I don't care if Ray Carey's on the line listening.
Right.
I don't care who's listening. We're trying to win it. So let me.
Well,
say
Mrs. Bell, on your case, one of the cases, there's three of them that I'm aware of.
Just tell you how many cases I got so y'all can understand. I got two cases with the OLMS, and I'll tell you their names because I don't care nothing about that. They know me.
Right, yeah. They know who you are.
Leonie, y'all can Google. Leonie has the one for the retirees. Also, I'm with Judge Lawson. He gave it to November the 20th to come with my response because Ray Curry had to respond to me, the adjudicator had to respond to me, and the monitor. That's in court now, and I got an extension this week. And I talked to James Copley. I'm going to be interviewing some.
I was just going to ask
so
you about
that.
I know that they denied Brother Coakley's appeals and then his complaint with the Department of Labor, and he's gotten a decision by now. And I was thinking it possibly that because you are a representative or you are a candidate in this race, that may be why your decision is being withheld, because it may affect the outcome.
Hold on. My decision is not. Let me talk. My decision, I pushed this button because I had with me and Roberta that y'all read. We filed an appeal, me and Roberta together. We had a deadline. I worked in 8 hours in the campaign. I had to get it in. Roberta was on my case. I had to get it in. I got it in. And I had went to the monitor and protested him. He held my letter up. and then which is an argument, and said, "Oh, Miss Bell, you should have. I'm not the adjudicator. You don't send your appeal to me. You send it to the adjudicator, and he gave it to me late." So he said, "So when I got to the adjudicator, I appealed the monitor." He said, "Oh, you ain't untimely, Miss Bell, anyway." So I told the judge this week, "I am not untimely. First of all these rules were communicated poorly.
Thank you,
so we're going to argue that. Okay, that's going to court. And I'm arguing on the issue of the I told him, Your Honor, there's state and federal violations against, one, Copley, and they're all military guys. They can re-enter the workforce if they choose to. And they are a member. We got 580,000 retirees. And
right.
You're a member. You can't just take them out. So I'm going to step up to that. The other thing I stepped up to, our names, we got the candidates' names slates on there. My flyer said
this should not be there.
They said my name is my Sharon Bell. Bell is a nickname. And they said, "Miss Bell, you can't have Miss Bell by there." So we got that in court, and they asked, their lawyer sent a letter. And I talked to the director of the OMLS because I'm on the way to Washington to file a complaint against everybody, even the people in Washington. And so they said this. The OMLS asked Ray Curry them, could they have an extension to keep from suing them until February 23rd? I said, so by then the election will be over. Now, that's regarding my regarding these names beside the ballot. In the Constitution, read it for yourself, the executive board is opposed to names anything on the ballot. So that is in that is something. So they asked me, "Miss Bell, come on, can't you go along with this?" I said, "Look, I'm getting rid of corruption. We're going to start right here before I even get elected. This is corruption."
Hold on, we got a lot of callers. Yeah, we got a lot of callers. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to join. We only can hold 50 callers.
Gotcha. Take it.
Sharon, this has nothing to do with you. Hang on for a minute. We can only hold 50 callers, and we're up to 48 right now. So if we get to 50 and 51 can't get in, you just have to wait till somebody drops off. And push one. And if you're not talking, please mute your phone if you're making any noise. Go ahead, guys.
All right. Hey, real quick, I got to interject. So for the Office of Labor Management Standards, who answers to the Secretary of Labor, Central Region covers the Detroit, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Cincinnati, Chicago area. That phone number is area code 414-297-1501. One more time, 414-297-1501. There you go. Here's my PSA for the day. Hello? Anybody?
I hear you.
Oh, okay. I had to make sure I didn't drop or something. That's that number.
Is Sharon done?
Office of Labor Management Standards. Huh?
Was Sharon done telling us what she was going to tell us?
I don't know. Sharon, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. Can you hear me? I'm here.
I was just making sure you were done.
Oh, I got three or four. I'm not going to give other people a turn because I'm going to tell you, I'm about to ask y'all to let's appeal all this stuff. We're holding it up, and we need to step up to it. We need to step up to it, and they're harassing the people, and the local is responsible for them dead names, and they letting them get away with it. These locals are managing the Lewis system. and the Lewis sister. Also, let's step up. Ray is doing two jobs. Adrian talked about that last week. Let's step up and write some appeals. It's up to y'all, because I'm going to write some. Okay?
Thanks for being on the ball, Sharon.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's stop playing, okay? Let's get tough. They want to step up. We got to win. The balance is out. I'm not against anybody, okay? Let's get these people out of here. Because when I get to the table, if y'all elect me, if you do, I am going to open them books up. So let's get down. And I'm going to start now.
I love it.
There you go.
I wrote a letter to the monitor in regards to the observers.
Willie, I'm here.
All of a sudden, they came up with the CDC that you have to be in compliance with the CDC for vaccination. Well, the monitor's letter is dated the same day as the CDC recommendation. The monitor is trying to make it a requirement. He cannot overrule the CDC and make it a requirement. Not only that, but
that's right.
UAW members are not required to be vaccinated to go to work.
That's
so
right.
How is
correct.
It that you're going to require them to be vaccinated to just be an observer of these ballots being counted?
So here's the question. Are you going to be an observer? And if they, I would do it and go through the process so that way they can turn you away and say, no, you can't do it. Now you got to complain.
Well, not only that, you have to have a current vaccination card. So
they're
doing everything that they can to keep members in good standing from being observers.
Right. I got that when you said it last week, but the question is, they're basically saying that you can't do it. They're disqualifying you or attempting to disqualify you based on your vaccination record. Are you still going to go? Just like Brother Coakley, even though he was told that retirees can't run, he still tried to go through the process so he can get an official denial. Are you going to go to be an observer and let them turn you away from the door? That way you've actually got some sort of complaint.
There are steps that you have to take in order to be an observer through the candidate. And once you take those steps, then you would be listed as an observer, and then you would go there.
So you need a denial from them, giving you a reason why you can't be one. That way you've got grounds for complaint.
They made us sign up by a certain date. And so they should have told the people when they signed up by that certain date that they had to be fully vaccinated. Then they can't wait till later and say, oh, by the way.
Right. A final hour of ruling that you have to have a vaccination.
Thank you, Gary. It should have been in the official rules back in May.
Right. Right.
Not wait till September, because that does not give people time enough to get fully vaccinated with boosters.
It's ridiculous anyway.
And as I said, the CDC only recommends. It did not require, it does not require people to be vaccinated. We are not government employees.
Right.
The UAW is not funded by the federal government, but I'll be damned, we're funding this damn monitor.
Right, and we're paying them at the same time.
If he has a seasoned lawyer, he's been in law for quite a number of years. If he don't know the difference between the word required and recommended, there is definitely something wrong with that monitor. I mean, we already know it's something wrong with it. But if you, as a seasoned lawyer,
the idea is
anything.
Oh,
you're right. Okay, we got, I think this is Paul. Let me see. Paul, is that you?
Yep, greetings to your rabble rousers. You're pretty worked up tonight.
Greetings, Paul.
Yes,
it is. Hey, Paul.
Everybody.
Good to hear from you.
It seems to me that the UAW and the monitor situation is so screwed up that ultimately we're probably going to have to go to Congress, too, to get it straightened out.
That's scary, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul's right. Paul is right. Go ahead, Jim. Somebody?
Go ahead.
I got accused by somebody from my local that I was a conspiracy theorist because I said that dead people were getting ballots, and I sounded like the Trump supporters.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yep.
But our local supports Trump, so.
Yeah.
If you want, you can use this for an example. Tell them that from the international staff, a fellow by the name of Richard Danjen was sent a ballot. And he's been deceased for, 3 years now, Jimmy?
3 years now?
There's been several, Scott.
2018.
Okay, 4 years.
They've gone to the extent of claiming that some of the photographs that people are taking of these ballots by people who are ineligible are Photoshopped.
Yeah,
there's a tracking
number
and a KR code on these frickin' ballots. If you send that inner envelope in, it triggers a tracking number so you can verify electronically. You can take screenshots to the tracking information to show that this is real. No, it's happening. They just don't want people to know about it. Well, we have social media. We talk.
Well, everybody that works for one of these plants has a global ID or an ID. They should have just went by the ID. What the hell?
Yeah.
You know, that's a very valid point, Melissa, because the global ID didn't come out until 2006. And one of these people that was terminated goes all the way back 16 years prior to the release of the global ID. So even that would limit some of the ballots or ballots to ineligible that have been printed. I want to know how many of these ballots were printed in total.
Right.
That's another good question.
Okay. Well, how about this then? Everybody has a social security number. Everybody has a social security number. Everybody that's born. Let's go ahead and go through the social security number.
You can't.
Perfect.
That's a federal offense. You need to know right now. You can't. That's a federal offense. That was taken off the table and 1997 by his government, because once I get that fucking number, I can be Carrie, baby.
Yeah, but if we're something to do with the federal government and how they should be looking at who's getting a ballot and who's not, they got access to people that are deceased, okay? Because it's federal. So maybe they need to do some work and mandate looking through numbers to see who is not even living on the planet.
This is true. And I think, but they're offering that as a diversionary tactic because their ballots are already out. It's already tainted. So they're saying that you're supposed to trust the monitor on the backside, that their system in place, that they haven't just told how they're going to do it, that their system in place will catch it all. No. They could have avoided it. The fact is, at this point, it's tainted.
Exactly.
We know it's tainted. So switch over to electronic balloting, and you check their IDs when they go to vote. The systems are in place. There's a local elections committee already at every local across the country. They've already been elected for local elections. You get them ballot machines on site or off site being managed by a third party. You verify them ID that we revote. They should nullify every single one of these votes, every single one of them.
It should start over. It should have been a top priority for these locals to get their membership list
in order before this election. They had plenty of time.
Agreed.
And not to mention,
said
he has to be a member in good standing by October 28th. And if you're not paying dues, you're not a member in good standing. And somebody who's been terminated for 16 years has not been paying dues. So why are they
agreed.
On the list?
100% agreed. But and the thing is, how do you fix it from here? Do we trust the same entity that fumbled the ball? That's right. That's the only way. Would you trust any one of these ballots to be counted? You could count them, and the count will be accurate every time. You could count them 20 times, 20 different ways, by 20 different parties, and you'll come up with the same result likely. But that's not where the problem is. The problem is that the people that were filling these ballots out and sending them in were not eligible to vote. So counting the votes does not tell you anything. Finding duplicates as they come in doesn't tell you anything.
Right. No, you're right about that.
What about one member, one vote? One member, one vote was last year, and I'm sure it was the same predicament. They had the membership list incorrect. I mean, how far back do you want to take it?
Right, and we can waste a lot of energy trying to doctor up or fix or trust this balloting that they've already exercised. Or we could just say, hey, we know it's corrupt. There's absolutely no way from this point forward that you can trust these ballots.
Right. Right.
And how much money did we spend on ballots that were not supposed to be mailed out? Probably a lot.
Oh, that's a good point. Because we're paying for all that.
Right.
I look at it this way. If I was getting flyers through the Merriman River Group for 580,000 retirees, and it cost me $15,000 for mailing. So if I mailed out 11 million ballots, or, 11 million, I think that's what they said, then just multiply that times that amount, and you'll see $15,000 is nothing for mailing.
Right. No, these are all track
we
mailings.
We spent,
it's not like
what, about $150,000 on mailing ballots?
It might be more
right.
than that.
And then,
because, I mean, that's regular flats, that's regular postage. But when
okay.
you do a
of that
receipt,
amount, excuse me. I'll be finished in a second. Of that amount,
go ahead,
take off at least 5% of duplication or deceased members receiving ballots. So that's the
5%.
Whole race right there.
Millions
I'll
of
use
dollars.
5% as a low percentage number. I'm still thank
yeah,
you.
No, you're right. You're talking millions of dollars in sending out ballots that didn't need to be sent out, and all they had to do, and for all the emphasis they put on telling everybody, make sure your address is current, make sure your address is current so you can get your ballot. They kept repeating that over and over. You're telling me at the local level they didn't say, hey, audit your books to make sure that we're, and especially after the referendum vote, if this did happen then, you didn't learn nothing?
So we need to appeal those things. It sounds petty, but you put your protest and appeal in, and you get action. Now, that's what we need to do. And on the issue of the shots and all of that, what Adrian was talking about, because I had some interruptions, we need to appeal that immediate. One, Adrian made the point, we're not the government. This is our building. This is our election. We appeal you, brother. And I need y'all to step up to that. And if I need to write it, just tell me. Shoot me a message. Sharon, will you write that? I'll write it right away. Adrian, whatever you want, I got it. Anybody need an appeal, I want it. I want to do this. I'm doing this for the membership because I care. I don't care nothing else. I'm tired of the bull crap. And I don't want to say words like Jim, but I can. Bye. Go ahead.
I think that the members, each member can write a short message to the monitor in regards to these ballots, in regards to this observer. You can just put a short note in. The reason I say that is because you can use that at a later time, that you did not go along with what was going on.
Right.
Later on, you could go and do the real appeal. But you must first say that I am not in agreement with what's going on right now.
No, I've got a question for you. I don't have a whole lot of experience with it. I've signed a few of them, and but I've never had to fill one. What about an online petition where one complaint is made, and everybody who's on these social media groups, we post it, and they can sign this petition, and we can turn this petition into whoever the authorities. I know they do it for government elections, for changing some of the state and federal local laws to get things on the ballot, but they use electronic balloting, or not balloting, but electronic petitioning. When we set up a petition, we could do it through either through Brian Keller's page. It could be unaffiliated. It could be something from the factory whistle. And we collect signatures from everybody who's in agreement. So you don't actually have to provide the individual pictures of your ballots, which that's not a problem either. That's a lot of information to process. But just maybe a complaint that this election needs to be rerun in a different manner where we can trust the results and that everybody signs off on that petition and send it to the next step above the monitor.
You don't have to put your ballot in there. The OMLS and the judge will pull up your ballot. That it's up to them to do the investigation, and they better protect our privacy and our reputation. You tell them that you have a complaint. This is a protest and an appeal. This is Ms. Bell. And this, that listed. He has to respond to it. And if we don't like his response, we go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. No discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
I agree.
But
agree.
This is what they're doing
but
right
I
now.
But I do think that
petition
is a good idea, too. It's a good idea, too.
Do both.
Well,
hey,
it shows money for support.
Hey, this is Jesse. Can I say something about
together.
This?
They will know we stand together whether we're running against each other or not. They need to know the rank and file is out here.
You're right. Go ahead, the guy that was
Jesse.
Trying to get in.
Jesse.
Go ahead. All right. So I know what's been getting talked about here with the elections, and a lot of it we know, and I heard, I don't know if that was Stephanie that said something about being accused of conspiracy theory. What I can say is I'm right now on UAW.org, and it's been posted on my page and other pages. The departments under the International Secretary Treasurer, one of those departments is auditing. And this is as read on UAW.org. The auditing department advises and assists local union financial officers in proper bookkeeping procedures, informs them of changes and... Let's see here. And changes in the law and conducts audits and procedural surveys. The department also assists the international. I'm sorry, that was the wrong. One second, auditing.
Okay. Yeah, good time, brother.
Hold on. Sorry about that. Of change, I had it together before I came back off mute. Let me reread it. The auditing department advises and assists local union financial officers in proper bookkeeping procedures, informs them of changes in the law, and conducts audits and procedural surveys. The department also assists the international trustees in carrying out their semiannual audit of the international. I'm sorry, I read the wrong article. Okay, so one of their departments that our international secretary oversees is circulation. I scrolled too far. This UA department processes the names and addresses of new members as well as thousands of address changes each month. It maintains an up-to-date mailing list for Solidarity, the UAW member magazine, as well as current mailing lists of international officers, regional directors, local union officials, and staff. That is the duties that current President Ray Curry had from 2018 to 2021, from the time he was appointed as UAW International Secretary until the day that he was appointed as the current president by former President Rory Gamble. Who did Ray Curry appoint that U.S. or that UAW secretary position to? He appointed it to Frank Stulen, who is now running. So we have two people running on the same slate who have had.
It's hard to count in the ballot. Right.
Since 2018.
But one of them is directly in charge of making sure that the Lewis system is up to date, is what you're saying. Is that correct?
Correct. I don't know about everybody's contract. I don't know. But I do know that it's somewhere in the General Motors contract, and it has been in the past language too, that every so often, whether it's once a month, which I think it is, that each local is required to receive up-to-date member information from the company within the local.
Wow.
There should be no problems with this. If you're not receiving it from the company, then you're breaching contract. If you're not, if the local is not receiving it from the plant or the covered areas, facilities of that local, then they're in breach of contract, the company is, and therefore the local is not doing their job.
Oh, my God.
They claim that if you change address with General Motors, it doesn't change it with the haul. And according to what you're saying, that's not true.
But no, what's not
true? The duty.
Can I comment on that?
Elected officer.
Yes.
Is in the national contracts. Each national contract speaks to each elected person's duties. So it's not just General Motors. It's Ford. It's Stellantis. It's the gaming people. It's everybody's contracts.
Right.
There's but Adrian, it covers. What I wanted to comment with GM, they demand to go buy off our direct deposit slip, which is your most current address, obviously. You know, so they're supposed to update from that. Now, if management ain't playing into that, I agree with this guy who's talking. That used to be a grievable issue because that was part of our national agreement when I was on staff. But, hell, like I said, that was in the 90s. I'll let you go there.
So wait a minute. Let's back this up for a minute. So you're saying that Frank Stulen is in charge to make sure all the addresses are correct right now?
Yeah, I'm 100% saying that on the record, and Ray Curry was appointed before him in 2018 and had the opportunity to do this too. And I'm going to say it how it is. This was not done because the fucking day that they would have to answer to the whole membership, but only the caucus. So why is something updated? Because you're never going to get called out on it. What's that?
Once a month?
I do believe that is once a month.
Okay, may I remind you, or can I interject just for a second? If you go back to the debate that was just shortly ago, there was an allegation that Ms. Margaret Mock may have neglected to file an MLM-2 by the same party who's in charge of the balloting system that caused this whole debacle.
Right. Ironic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm just trying to put something out here, and maybe I'm missing something again. So Frank Stulen is the one who's supposed to be in charge of making sure all the addresses are current, correct? Or correct and
current? That's correct. That is correct. Under his title that he holds right now, he is in charge of auditing all locals from the international level to make sure that they are getting their correct information, and it's the jobs of the locals to make sure that the company is not breaching that international contract to update the locals with that.
Okay, so I'm clear on that. So this is my question then. If I have somebody who's a candidate that's running for something and his job is to make sure that our addresses are correct, doesn't that seem like a conflict of interest?
Essentially, it's almost the same as counting ballots incorrectly. you're not counting ballots incorrectly, but by not making sure it's updated, you're allowing the potential for a fraudulent ballots to be cast. In my mind, that would be almost exactly the same thing.
That's something right. that we're having to address.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that has to be brought to somebody's attention that the person is supposed to make sure that the information is being done correctly is also a candidate. That,
right.
I have a problem with that. That come on now. That's like a no-brainer. That isn't no mudslinging or name-calling. This is something done by default. This is wrong.
Yep. Well, it's a new process, too. So some things are going to
happen. Process.
I understand. It's a new process.
What's a new process?
But you have a candidate.
It's wrong, so one member, and we need to address it.
One member,
hold
one
on.
Vote. New process.
What is a new process?
One member, one vote.
Oh, okay. That is a new process. But the other about the member addresses, that is not a new process.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, a lot of things probably need to be looked at.
Right. And we can argue over maybe intent and malice and potentially attempting to rig an election, but none of that can be proved. What we do know for a fact is where we are at this juncture. These ballots are not correct. They are not going to give a true reflection of what the membership want or who they want in office. Let's stop now. Let's stop and go electronic or some variation that we can verify who is voting.
Don't do that.
I do have
it's
something to say
mess.
About this
it's
electronic voting, too. So in 2015, at my previous local, I was asked to help out with the election, so it was union business. I didn't have a defined position other than to just be helpful at the tables or whatever, but that election was the first time I saw and the last time I have ever seen an electronic ballot like we have right now system to elect my chairman. The one and only election that I've ever heard of in my time as a union member. And it was all for one local, and I was told that that election for a smaller local than the locals that we, many of us come from, smaller locals, it costs $8,500 just for one local.
So it's cheaper than sending out ballots to people that don't get them or shouldn't have them?
Well, it's
I'm thinking when you add up every local, if you add up every local, and I know somebody has talked in the past about, you know, some locals can't even afford, based on the size of their membership and their and who they cover for representation, that they can't even afford to send delegates to the delegate convention. So I see that as suppressing the availability to make it widespread for having these machines in every local. And the other thing is, and maybe Stephanie, and if anybody else is on the line that was the delegate at this convention, from my understanding, Frank Stuglin, at some point, maybe it wasn't at the convention, made an announcement that this election already was costing our membership upwards of $13 million.
Wow.
So if this is how it's going now, with that being said, if I'm correct on the roughly $13 million that he possibly announced, then how much would it cost us to do it at the local level? Not to mention, if we did bring it at the local level, now we have each local level caucus supporters now overseeing each local.
I don't know how it could possibly cost
$13
million.
It needs to be off the local's grounds. It needs to be off the company's grounds by a third party. A place near the local is handled by a third party, and they have absolutely no control over it. You still have observers locally instead of having to ship them across country. And if there's any restrictions for observers on the national level, it wouldn't even apply, because as long as you meet the local restrictions, and if there's no restrictions for your regular elections committee or regular observers for a local election to have to submit to any of these restrictions as far as COVID shots or boosters or any of that, then it wouldn't even apply. It could clean up the whole mess.
Because we're paying for
it. But we have a third party.
I don't know
how much
it
costs,
$13 million.
Merriman River Group is a third party.
I got you. Yeah, but they should take the ballots at the local level. Why are they all being mailed to one central location overseas by a man that doesn't know how to count, apparently, or doesn't know how to make sure records are up to date?
Speaking of that, I don't know if you guys, for many of you guys that may have watched the video from that meet and greet after the presidential forum, you know, everybody stuck on just the phrases that were used, vote often, vote early, vote or mail often, mail early. But what was said after that to the crowd of supporters was, as these ballots come in, we're going to get, this was from Ray Curry, we're going to get
the real numbers.
Yeah.
And if we don't see the real numbers come in, we're going to push.
We're going to push even harder. That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
I've yet to see that happen. I will say that a local election, the number that you put out, Jesse, for a electronic election, that, what was it, $8,000, something like that?
This
I'm
is,
sure it was,
yes,
eight.
That's
I'm
exactly
sure
why I was paying for a small membership. Yes,
yeah,
that's why I specified for a local of a
right.
small membership size. And that's
well,
because once at a local level, now you actually have to pay for union floor staff to be off the clock for union business, getting paid by our dues members' money to be a part of that election process. Not only that, but then you also have to pay for each individual machine that you are renting, and then that starts falling under the umbrella of the locals' budget for what they're doing.
$8,000 is a lot cheaper than what we would spend on a local election, is all I was going to say.
It's cheaper than the ballots they sent out as well.
We have to pay. We have five voting locations, I'm sorry, and we have to pay for the election committee and the volunteers. And we have to pay for, you know, a 24-hour, it gets to be pretty costly, plus the price of printing the ballots.
I don't know if it's as costly as having the wrong person seated in the position that they didn't earn.
What do you need volunteers for when you have an election committee?
Because they refuse at my local to have enough election committee members to cover what we need. They refuse.
Yeah, but you guys are skipping
one thing.
You know,
who am I talking to?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Everybody, one at a time.
I'm just trying to find out who was talking.
Hold on. If you're not speaking, please mute your phone. I hear dogs and everything else going on. And it's hard to hear. Go ahead.
The question I want to say is all this is a pipe dream because you're talking like there's only the big three vote. We're talking the UAW. You got people way out in the middle of the back hicks. You're not going to get everybody to drive to your plant, your local, and vote. You're going to have to go with a third party, somebody we can trust, and go by mailing, because how many retirees really live where they work anymore?
Look, for some of you, correct.
Please, whoever has a dog, move your damn phone.
There's a dog. You're right, Jim. There are people, if you live on a certain mile range from the balloting location, then they definitely would have to have paper ballots.
It got quiet. That's the first.
Everybody muted their phone. That's all I'm trying.
Adrian, I'm sorry, but that was all I was trying to say. You got people in colleges. You got little factories out in the middle of DFE. You got retirees that move back to their home states. That's a beautiful dream, but we got to get real. Wow, man, the noise was terrible.
Yeah, we got a lot of background noise. Please mute your damn phone if you're not speaking. Please. I get emails every week about the noise, background noise. So, and the people are sending me emails right now. I'm not going to read them. This isn't about politics. So, you know, that's a different show. Yeah, I know you're UAW members, but, you know, this isn't about who's running for what in government.
Right.
So going forward, right. Jim, do you have any suggestions? There has to be some other alternative other than what they've already done. And I know it's going to cost a lot of money, but the waste is not borne. And the other thing is, because it is a national election, the cost should not be borne on the locals. They should be reimbursed or subsidized for any additional costs that cost for the balloting machines, if that's the way you guys decided. But you can't trust the vote that's already out there. It's not going to reflect what, you know, and they're trying to make it sound like isolated incidents, but it's not. There's, I've seen hundreds of different ballots. People send screenshots, and some of them are, you know, I mean, we know management. Some of them are relatives that have left. Deceased is another one. I mean, in one case, the deceased person, they actually paid a death benefit too. You know what I'm saying? So they, how could they not know? There's absolutely no way they could not know.
You know, you talk about the money, right? Well, let me tell you where in 2015 they really screwed the pooch. When they took the strike fund and added a name to it called Strike and Defense Fund. Oh, did you know that the machine cost could come out of the defense fund?
Really?
Oh, how can you?
Yes, they could take it from there to get those machines and get electronic voting. Because
well, we couldn't take it from the
it?
Right. We couldn't take it from the strike. You're right. Dick Anjan talked about this a long time ago when it first happened, and before he deceased and passed away. He did say that when you change that from the strike fund, which is an insurance fund, it switched
that's
over
good.
To a slash insurance mutual called the strike / defense fund, which, if I remember right, the words he said was it had different articles of incorporation, and it had to be changed because of the money that was involved and what the purpose of that said fund was. Wow.
Whew, that is
mouthful
correct.
For you.
Because they had been taking money from the strike fund for organizing, which
correct.
Was illegal.
Correct.
And somebody finally told them that they had been doing something illegal for years.
Yes.
Years they had been taking money from that strike fund to go out and organize. Well, if organizing is a defense, so is electronic voting. That is a defense.
That's right.
Also.
It's a defense against the corrupt election system. I agree.
That is correct.
Well,
so they're taking it out of
geez.
Our money once again.
Yeah.
To cover the corrupt, to, you know, pay for the corruption.
Right.
You know what, though? The alternative is we don't spend the additional money and you're going to have the wrong person sitting. You know, and like Jim said, this is kind of a pipe dream because the conversation we're having right now is real and true. It is a problem that we're addressing on a show that they're not even acknowledging. They're not even acknowledging
correct.
They want you to. Oh, just trust us. We'll go through the process. We'll figure it out in the end. And just trust us.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't trust you.
810, I'm putting you on. And 98, no, Paul again. I'll put Paul back on. 810, you're
okay.
on. Okay.
That's LaShawn Inglis. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, LaShawn.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Maybe they
well, hello, young lady.
They're always taking a thing out of ours.
Okay. Is this LaShawn?
Yeah, this was Sarah.
Hey, we just had a couple deep conversations. We're talking, Adrian brought up how they've been stealing, well, they used to steal out of the strike fund for years, and now they're dipping out of the defense fund. But before that, did you know that part of Frank Struglin's job is to make sure that all the locals have the correct addresses for the membership?
Oh, yeah. It's in the Constitution, yeah.
Okay, and so then why is someone who's running for that position, why is somebody who's running for that position who is supposed to have that responsibility, and we're wondering why we're getting deceased people are getting ballots and people are getting multiple ballots. Why is that happening then?
I'm going to say it's a three-part, though. It's a mutual blame all the way around, to be totally honest. When the one member one vote went out, they knew they have a problem. We all heard members, even retirees, that they hadn't even got Solidarity magazines. We always heard that, right? So I think no one's never fixed the problem. Some of your locals, during bankruptcy, I would say, I'm just going to speak on the big three in Chrysler in general and me as the president. During the bankruptcy, before, like, our system was tied in with the company. The company, that was an extra cost the company didn't want to take over, so they stopped taking that cost on. So that became a problem in itself. And then a lot of times we haven't received a death notice from our members, and I want to say at my location, I'm going to use my location. When I was the recording secretary, I used to receive the death notices. So our bookkeeper and our financial secretary would take those people off the records. So that is some responsibility there. But then it got to the point you didn't have to notify your local benefit rep that you passed away. You only had to notify when the trust came. You only had to really notify them. But they should have been sending, taking them off the books, and it should have automatically took them. So it is a problem. And you got to blame it on, you can blame it on Ray Curry, too, because wasn't he in that same position?
Yes, he was. He sure was.
So you can't put it all full fledged on Frank either. It's like Ray Curry.
He said that.
You know, during one member, one vote. So
but
it is
so knowledgeable.
They knew it was
but
a problem.
But he's so knowledgeable.
It should have been addressed and it should have been handled. And if GM, if it says in the national contract that GM is supposed to coincide with the union hall when a member is terminated or passes away, then that should be getting done, period.
Yes, period.
But that's
well, it's clearly not a Friday.
Yeah. What's that, Paul?
It's clearly not a priority with the UAW.
Absolutely.
But one thing I want to do is state is, as a retiree, I want to just say something briefly to my fellow retirees and any of you who are listening, who are actively working but have relatives that are retirees. We have a clear choice as retirees. We can vote for coffee and donuts at the union hall, or we can vote for representation. All the administration has ever given us is coffee and donuts and weak excuses about how they can't bargain on our behalf. Brian is right. Someone who offers something different. And I'd like to encourage the retirees to support Brian. We are the largest group in the UAW. We're the most ignored group in the UAW. And it's time to flex the muscle by electing somebody who will work for us. So that's basically all I want to say.
Thank you, Paul.
While you're speaking, Sharon Bell is speaking. I'd like you to support me as vice president for this UAW. I have more credentials than everybody in terms of the vice president, and I have experience. My flyer is out there. Why would you choose someone that does, and I stand up for the retirees and all the members. I'm fighting for you right now and going to fight whether you want me to or not. I don't wait till you ask because we need to work together. Sharon Bell wants to vote as vice president.
Right.
That's right.
Well, if we elect Brian, we also need to elect some people who have like minds. And because one thing, former Buick City and New Directions leader Dave Yetaw once said, winning the election is the easy part. Because if Brian wins and people win who are like-minded, they're going to be fighting the corporations and the union.
Right.
Because the corporations have worked hard over the last 40 years to help people get elected who are favorable to their position. You know, anybody
right.
that's been, a, been an opposition candidate understands that, that management gives certain advantages to people that are friendly to them at election time. So anyway, it's been a long day for me. I've been traveling, but I just wanted to hop on briefly. And
who is this speaking? Paul.
Who? Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And I just
Paul,
wanted
to... Paul, I've been meaning to ask you your last name forever just so I could research. I listened to you for weeks and weeks, for years on end, and you come with a, you come with a level of truthfulness and inexperience and obviously a history within the union that when you speak, people listen. Yeah. And I'm one of those people. And I know some of the people you talked about, Gary Walkowicz, and some of the people you're associated
yeah.
with, but I have no clue who you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm just the unknown union activist. My last name's Baxter. I've had a comically good time over the last 30 years opposing opposing these people because they just
Excuse
don't
me,
understand
answer
why
the question,
anybody
Mr.
would.
Mr. Baxter.
Yep. Hello?
Hey, this is
Who got the question?
Yeah, I'm on here. That's not me. My mom's phone was mute.
Yeah, no, that's me. This is Jesse Kazura from Local 598, LaShawn.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask, in one of your probably only Facebook Live posts just recently, you addressed some topics with the membership, and one of the things that I did hear you mention was a phone number that you can call if you are subject to any intimidation or harassment of any way about
okay.
how you vote, and I think that's a number that needs to get put out there at some point
okay.
during the radio show tonight.
I'm sorry, that wasn't me. I kind of live the Amish lifestyle. I don't use social media. I use an old-fashioned technology called a handbill and a phone. So
your telephone
that,
still
was,
got a cord on it?
Actually, I finally got rid of that, but yeah, I just have a flip phone. It makes life pretty
Mine
simple.
Mine does.
Yeah. But,
I still have a corded phone.
Good for you. I still have one, except my wife wanted to get rid of it finally. But, you know, I just wanted to put that word into the retirees because we actually have the opportunity to do something we always wanted to do when we were working. We suffered through plant closings. We suffered through poor
That's
representation.
Right.
We suffered through the jobs being eliminated that we waited 20 years to get. We suffered through transfers and plant closings. And now we have a time to do something, and
right.
it'd be a real waste if we missed this opportunity. So,
Amen, Paul.
Anyway, I've been gone all day, and I got to go spend some time with my bride. So I just
okay.
wanted to get that plug of encouragement. So, anyway,
Thank you, Paul.
Good talking to you, Rabble Rousers.
And nice talking with you.
With you, Paul.
Brother Paul.
Hey, Paul.
If it wouldn't have been for the people, the when I hired in over 20 years ago, if it would not have been for the people that were getting ready to retire and showed me the ropes on how to do things and what to do and not to do and what not to say, I probably wouldn't have made it my first year. I would not have.
Yeah, it was
so
tough.
I always have a soft spot in my heart for them. They're really the ones that protected me. They amazing. I just want to thank everybody that is older reaching out to these younger ones still in the plant, and the retirees that actually took the time to show us new people the rope.
Carrie dear.
I want to make sure I put that number on there. One second.
Hold
guys.
On. So hold on. Hold
monitor-
on.
Oh.
Hold okay. on. Carrie.
Yeah.
I got a way for you to show your generosity to us old people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
in the back of
his white
camel
van.
I'm gonna need some blue pills busted out. Well.
All right. <I'm... laughs>
Not everybody's on those pills. I'm just saying. I love you.
I love you, sweetie. Okay, go ahead. Whoever wanted to talk. I'm sorry.
I wanted to make sure I got that number out there for you guys. So the monitor number is 212-303-2528. That is the monitor. When you have a problem with anybody, the intimidation and threatening and all that stuff, call them. They will leave a message. They will contact you back. I will say that. And then they also got the ethic hotline. So for some of the behaviors of people in the plant, some of the people who are not running, like if your leadership is harassing you and stuff, you can call both numbers, but also suggest calling the ethic hotline. And that number is 866-830-0006.
Give it one more time.
866-830-0006. That's the ethic hotline. And then
right.
the monitor's number is 212-303-2528.
All right. Okay, and by the way, we're going to 9 o'clock tonight.
Hey, Roshana, can I ask you a question? This is Jim. Do you have an active phone number for people at International Staff? I need to get a hold of somebody about a part of my settlement here, and I can't get nobody to return my damn calls.
Which department are you looking for particularly?
Actually, I'm looking for the GM department.
So, I mean, like, you can, like, if it's at the president's office, you can call the president's office, or you said the GM.
Yeah, that would work. That would get me in the door, and he could direct me down the chain from there. I promise I'll be polite. It's regarding $65,000.
Liar.
I know.
It's 65 grand. I'll be polite for a second.
So normally I just call the 313-926-5000 and actually speak to the president's office, and they will send you directly to one of the assistants there. They will answer that phone.
You get an answer at that number? I can't get nobody to answer that number.
Really? Inbox
yes,
me and
ma'am.
I'll give you some. Inbox me and I'll give you somebody number. I'm watching on my Facebook page, okay?
Gotcha.
You want me to put you guys in the green room? I can do that.
I can't get in there. They shot out my power around here again. I ain't got no internet this week.
Green room, Jim.
Oh,
yeah.
Too bad.
What the hell are you talking about?
If you'd like to talk to this young lady and get your number.
I would love to do that if you could do that.
I can do that.
So,
hold on for a minute. I need the LaShawn, I need your area code.
810.
Okay, hang on. Jimmy, you're in the green room. 810. I think there's an 810. Okay. Okay, you guys continue. Okay, you guys. Jimmy, are you there? Jimmy.
You must be in the green room.
I'm in the green room. Oh, hold on. I'm in the wrong room. Hold on. Sorry about that, kid.
Okay. So
if we want to, what was the procedure again? I got a piece of paper with the people that shouldn't be receiving the ballots, just so everybody knows what is, because I heard a couple different ways.
Ms. Sharon Bell.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to keep it simple because I know I can get long and Ava will get me. The first thing, you can file your appeal to the monitor and tell them. And you can recall that number. She gave you the hotline number for intimidation, but there's another number. I have to get it. Take my number and call me. I'll give it to you. And you can leave them a voicemail. What I do, I leave them. I call them on the phone, and I also leave them a text. It'll respond back to you. And if you want to just call me, 313-680-9800, I won't have to stay on this line, and I'll give you what you need.
Okay, and it was 313, what was it?
My number is 313-680-9800. And you can call me back, and I'll give you whatever you need and help you, okay?
Okay, go ahead. We'll go ahead. All right, so LaShawn and Jimmy are in the green room. It just goes to show we've had a good show tonight. We had some good discussion. We had some information come out that a few people knew about, but we as a mass did not know about. The current Secretary Treasurer, it's his responsibility to make sure all the addresses are correct. And that whether somebody's active or retired or deceased.
Deceased.
And that hasn't happened. And I don't know if anybody else sees that, but I see that as a huge problem. This guy's running for election. He has everything to gain by making sure that information is not out there.
You're right, Scotty. Let me break it. After you're done, I got 323 to put on. Let me put 323 on.
Go ahead, put them on.
All right. 323, you're on.
Yeah, 323 is here. Hello, Donnie. Hello, Scotty. Can you hear me?
Hey, Joe.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Hey there, Joe.
Hey, guys. Hey, Adrian. All right. Just wanted to call in and check in to see how you guys are doing. I know you're involved in the UAW and everything, but this is one of the few times I can actually talk to Donnie. So, Donnie, can you put me in the green room?
Yes, I'll be right with you, Joe. Hang on.
Okay.
Boy, the green room's busy tonight. Woo!
Ain't it?
Must be coffee and cake in there or something.
Better than mine. Oh, boy.
I've got...
No, but you're right.
I think I'm
going to... We've learned a lot of things. And, you know, how can somebody be over control of that type of information? And like you said, they purposely suppress the corrections. You know, that turns the whole damn election. You know, they're going to bitch and say that, I can hear it now. Oh, them call people are going to make us spend $13 million more on an election. You know, they're really bad people.
Yeah.
So I got a question for the group. So 900,000 ballots went out, but only like less than 20,000. So, I mean, the question, I guess, is, like, not really many people turn in their ballots. So how do we get them to engage, to actually come in there? Because even though we know dead people in there and stuff, not turning them in or returning them in, and it could overturn the whole thing, if only a fourth of our people vote, not even a fourth, this is really bad. We got to get somehow engaged, I guess.
This is always a problem.
Because if people are that disenfranchised that they really don't want to vote, it's bad, ain't it?
According to Ray Curry at the convention, when I watched the opening address by him, he made a point to talk about the one member, one vote election and the outcome of only 140,000 ballots coming back. So he's getting information that no other candidate has access to know that kind of stuff. And he made a point. If you guys look it up.
You guys know that's on the website, though. That is on the monitor's website. You can request
okay. How
many people and ask for that, guys. We could ask for that.
Do you have to request it?
Yeah,
no, you don't. It's on YouTube. I believe I've already posted it.
Okay.
Yeah, but Michelle's saying that you can go at any time.
Okay,
right. She said you can go at any time, request it, and they'll give you the information.
But yeah. We have a problem, another problem that we need to address, and we can do it. At the locals, they are telling people right now, they just started heavily this week, last Friday. They are telling the people at the local, the people are telling me, Sharon, I don't even know we have an election. Our leadership is not telling us anything, a whole unit. Lake Orion. The tech center, they said, we don't know, Sharon, we don't know anything. No one's called us. Our union is not saying nothing, and it's very hush-hush. And that's one of their strategies they just really started, just like they did at the convention. So we need to hit
the referendum, too.
Yeah, we need to hit these plans, because they're being told they're not telling you anything, and they're not letting you in. This is a local strategy. And then Raytheon, they're renting other facilities. For example, when I went to Saginaw, the local said UA. So that was owned by a private. They're doing their events with our money. And I saw the people that work for them there, so they had to be on the clock, more than likely, if I investigated. They're at another union, so they told me, we're going to call the police on you because you shouldn't be here. Then I went to Local 600 last week, and Chuck was there. They put him on the stage, and I said, look, I want to go on the stage. So the statement to me was, they asked me to leave. They was going to call the police. And they told, and Chuck said, well, Sharon, I'm the vice president. He got up on the stage. I took a video. And I'm telling you, all this is a strategy. And they on the clock. And I said, you campaign, Chuck. But it's a different move. And this is why the people are not responding. Also, my point, you need to get back. And I talked to my labor relations about kicking you off of my site. I wish you'd come back because I'm going to write them up. I told them, don't do that. Brian came out there and y'all was interfering. I got a civil rights call on me for all that right now. So I just want to say that to y'all. Let's step up. We got to get tough.
That's always a problem, though. It is always a problem. The only time that people are paying attention is when there is an election that they're aware of or when there's it's contract time. These pages are flooded. Don's looking at the switchboard, and the numbers of members that are engaged are higher than they ever are, which is still a small percentage of the total membership. But that's the only time they pay attention, and it is a problem. Even for a local leader, if you were trying to conduct committees, I could see we're having people – that are willing to fill these spots because they're doing their thing on their time off. And then a lot of people are working a lot of overtime, so it's not that. But if you can't take, you know, one day a month to go to your general membership meeting so that way you can keep your local right or that you can engage in contract negotiation talks or at least know what's coming to you, what you're voting on, you know, I mean, that's a sad state of affairs. You're dependent on this money, this income that you get from this system that we have in place, and people just are not engaged.
Does anybody remember the old punch cards for when you used to go in a meeting, and if you had all punch cards for 11 months, you didn't have to pay 1 month of union dues? I remember that the first couple of years I was in the local, but I think that ended with like the 79 agreement. But that gave people an incentive to stay active in their locals.
Right.
And can I say something
right.
a little bit?
There's no restrictions saying that you should have to make X number of meetings. And
just to maintain membership. If it's three a year, I mean, come on. Your wages get paid every hour. Your wages are based on what's negotiated for you. There should be some accountability on the members and in addition to the officers. That's not all the officers. You know, a lot of times, just if you go to basic shop problems, okay, a lot of the perception by the line workers is that the union member is or union representative is supposed to fight their fight for them. No, that is not their role. It's for them to guide them so they can fight their own work. You know what I mean? You have to do the fighting. You can't just sit back and expect, well, somebody's going to do it all for me. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Good
all
point.
It worked then.
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Know
you got to remember, they cancel three meetings a year, so at most you're going to have nine meetings. It has a valid point. That's what I meant to say, too. So technically, I only had to do eight meetings a year, and I didn't have to pay union dues. Think about that. That was incentive. But, you know, like the man's saying, to be a member, you should be apt to be actively involved to carry that status of a member in good standings.
Yeah, even a minimal. I mean, you're talking one day a month. For an hour, 1 hour a month you have to devote to your life for something that pays you every hour that you work. I mean, I would think that it would be more important to some people.
Right. That would be interesting. I'm going to say at our local, if one-fifth of the population show up to the union meeting, they'd cancel it. Because one, they would have more of them than there is of those and there's of us. And our hall isn't big enough to handle that. Our hall is full right now. And 90%, 95% of people who go are either elected or appointed or specially appointed. That's why we want to go to our meeting.
Hey, can I, before we get further in any other topics possibly, I wanted to touch on facts for a second off of some of what Sharon Bell said. I'm from the same local, Sister Bell. As far as the posting of the elections to make it available for people to be aware, some plants, so I'm not speaking all locals, but some plants have televisions, and they put union-agreed business advertisements on there along with the company advertisements. But let's backtrack to the monitor's election rules and processes. You can find it in the report I did last week while the show was going on. But it states in Ray Curry's administration was – who decided these processes and rules with the monitor, first of all. And in that process of how this election is going to be advertised, there was only two requirements, that it be posted on the monitor's website and on the local's website or Facebook page. I believe it specified website. It did not say that a local union does have to publish it inside the facilities. That was not by mistake. What it should, I agree, absolutely. So in my local, the first time I noticed it on a union board was within a couple days of when the date for the ballots to start going out. That's when I noticed it. And all it was, it was the generic one that says elections, blah, 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 and then it has like a little picture in the right corner, bottom of it, that shows a picture of a ballot. That's it. That's it. And those were not even, and I can't say that they were spread throughout the plant because we have a city, you know, for our plant. But I can say that the major in and out tunnel where our union board is, for a great majority of membership, there was no awareness posted on the union board until the week that the ballots were supposedly starting to go out. No awareness. And since last week, or I think that's when it started, or the week before, anyway, since that time, I've spoken to so many people, like we've heard already from other members on the show, that people are not aware. Some people aren't even aware that we're having state and federal elections right now, but we're talking about union elections, something that's never happened before, and these people are not aware because it was controlled by the processes and rules governed and agreed upon between the very administration that we're trying to address through this election and the monitor. It's fact. It's right on the monitor's website. They were not required to post it in the locals.
And that needs to be appealed, and you need to make them address it, and that will open up a can of worms right there.
I want to comment on that last part. That last one, posting that you have, that's the only posting that the monitor made every single facility. I don't know how many they gave at my facility. They gave us two pieces of paper. They said one at the local and one in the building. And like you said, if I got 2,000 people and they don't all come out the entrance, they're not going to see that paper. I agree with you. It's the same that there's no emphasis to the membership to about voting. They sent us a whole lot of stuff about what's going on November the 8th, but they sure not saying nothing about this election itself. I truly agree that International did that purposely.
So if you've got six entrances and exits to your facility and you've only got to post it in two different places, that means anybody that goes into the entrances or exits where there is not a posting, because you're only required two, is not even seeing them, right?
Correct. And at least in my – so because I'm running, I've been talking about this one member, one vote. My membership has been pretty engaged because I've been talking about one member when it happened. I sent out information to all my members about the upcoming elections, letting them know. And we have a text message. I don't use it for myself to campaign. I only use it for information purpose to making sure that they got the information and know what's going on. So I do. But I'm like you guys, when I go out and campaign, I still think people, it's like, don't I go to the local and vote for it? Or when this ballot got to come in? I'm getting that a lot from a lot of different locations as I'm out there campaigning. And the IPS is really totally not engaged at all. They have not even heard is going on at some locations I've been to.
And the retirees, a lot of them may not even have internet or any of that. And I told the court that already, but I'm going to appeal it. I'm bringing it to y'all first to think about it. If you don't have the internet.
No, what you're saying is fact.
Yeah. Thank you.
And in fact, that was my contention, Mrs. Bell. That was my contention, because if you look at, there was a news article that not that long ago, I'm not, just to paraphrase it, essentially it was crediting the Curry Caucus for all of the changes and reforms. They credited them for direct voting and things that they had nothing to do with in the local press, because they know that the retirees still read print press when they don't engage on the internet.
Thank you. And they're telling the people, because I sat at Local 600, Adrian Pratt, and I was thinking about the Adrian. I sat there. They were talking about trust and all that, and I stood up and gave them some ideas. But my point is, none of them knew nothing. Chuck. I don't care if you want to be competitive, but we need to get in these locals. We need to get in these retirees, and we need to shake this thing up and come assertively, a little bit more assertive. I like to see all y'all. I'm not against not one of you. You need to come, and we need to hit these plants.
I agree with what you're saying there as well. These international reps have access to every single facility in the country, and when you have people like, and it's not just Brian Keller, it's been Will Lehman, it's been other people from the Members United Caucus, you know, that when they show up on a facility and they're chased off the grounds and they're not allowed to campaign, they're not allowed to even stand at the gates, they call security on them. But any international rep can walk into any one of these facilities. And locally is exactly the same thing. The local president has organized these amalgamated units. There's five units, three of them, he has access to walk in, drop his literature because he's on the e-board.
But he could drop his literature on the tables at every single one of the facilities where anybody from the core unit, unit one and two, which would be production and nurses, don't have access to these 700 votes. So there's no way they're going to lose. Of course, in the delegate race, they're 300 votes ahead of everybody. It's not because that they have that much more support within the same group. They have that many more votes available to them.
And Laura, Region 1A, I'm telling on everybody, and I told them, expect this. Chuck told me, he said, I'm doing my report. I'm over this local at Local 600. He, and his president said he's doing it under my report because he went up on the stage. I got him a picture. Laura, the A, Region 1A person, I don't care if you're listening, Laura. I don't care if Ray's listening. Now, you call me if you got a problem. Here's what I want to tell you. She had a girl out there. I had witnesses. I had my campaign people. Wolfman. And I said, now watch her. She had a blue bag. And I listened to a conversation. She was set there to campaign to those retirees at that 600. And I want to know if they, I told her, I want to know if they're working. You got your staff out here? I just want y'all to know we got to step up. Get to these plants, bombard it. Don't worry about if I'm running against you. I ain't got no problem with you. If you can beat me, go ahead. But I got to be on the same team here. We got to team up. It's them against us. Let's make it happen.
That's right. It's got to be fair.
I want to say that this is only the second time that I have heard of any candidate being turned away from being able to campaign on premises. Most, somebody did mention something about Members United. I have not heard not one Members United person say that they weren't allowed to campaign somewhere.
Not
true.
Not true. No, no.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold up. Okay. Hold up. Hold
up.
Hold up. Okay.
Let him finish.
Look, I sit back and I let everybody else talk.
You did.
Okay.
Let me finish
Hold
what
on.
I'm saying.
Hold on.
So that you can understand what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I have not heard anyone say that they have been thrown off of a premise, but two candidates. I've only heard of two. And it should not have happened.
Right.
Period.
No, it should not have.
Thank you.
Now, you're right. It should never happen.
That's not a fair election.
Adrian's right.
Well, we got the police caller at Matt. The police called the president. Or I am going to say who the president. I'm going to say somebody over at Matt. The police came and got us up, kicked us up at the premises at Matt, me, and a couple of one other. Matter of fact, it's me and Mike Booth. So we got kicked off there. We went to Ford Plant, kicked out the Ford Plant in Sterling Heights. We got kicked off of there, both Ford Plants. So as far as me personally,
I think Paul
How
got
you going to win? You a president. Come on now.
I can't go on their premises when they call the police if
I
had a member of that
location. We got to step up. We got to step up and get some appeals and step up and do what we got to do. We got to make the manager do his job.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to you, LaShawn, because it should not have happened. But what
I ain't got my car towed. Look, Adrian, let me tell you something. I didn't even talk about it. These mugs ran over my shop chair foot and got in my face, tried to run me down at the Pontiac local. Then they took a forklift truck, tried to tow my car. It's been like, so they brought me off the property. So I have no right. I'm like, really? It's been a task with them. It's crazy. And then I'm a member at the region. They wouldn't even let me park my car at the region, trying to make me park it across the street. I'm like,
you
I'm
know,
a member.
Wow.
I'm a person of few words. I don't normally say a whole lot. I say some things that I feel is pertinent, and then I kind of back off of things. The reason that I'm saying all of this right now is that if I knew that all of these people were having all of these problems that's being said, there's no reason that all members shouldn't be rallying behind you all.
Right.
Because
agreed.
This stuff here is uncalled for. It should not, like I said, should not be happening.
That's right.
You know, this is scum. These are people that have no morals. They will do anything to win an election?
Yes, they will.
Oh, man. And that's what you want.
I've been chasing to the bathroom. That's why some people on staff, I've been chasing into the bathroom, literally into the bathroom. I got the monitor and the ethic hotline, but I've been walked into the bathroom. Guys, and walked the phone.
They don't walk into the bathroom.
Okay.
And it's going to take me
9 minutes.
Because I'm a woman, and I'm somebody. Don't you ever talk to me like that again. Ask them, didn't I tell them? And I told Chuck, you better get it straight. Now, you call the police. Because I'm going out. I know what happens to people that look like me. But you're going to have to answer to them. I'm going to make a report. So I'm basically letting y'all know now because I'm headed to the court for you.
Well, good thing you stood up. Good thing you're
standing
up.
Yeah. Adrian? Mm-hmm. Adrian, dear. Can you tell us? Tell me how to contribute to my friend, Brian Keller, please.
if you'd like to make a donation to Brian Keller's campaign, you can go through Cash App. It's $, the word committee, BLK. Or you can mail a check or money order to Brian Keller for IUAW President, P.O. Box 2483, Belleville, Michigan, 48112.
There you go.
We would really appreciate that. We thank you for all of your support.
Absolutely. I give what I can, hon. I give what I can. I hope everybody else can.
We appreciate everything that everyone has done for us. Everything is not always about money.
No.
We've had members all across these United States that have helped us pass out flyers, purchase flyers, and pass them out. It just brings chills to my body and tears to my eyes for all of the members and the things that they're willing to do to help us.
That's very good. I'm glad people are stepping up because this is the most important election I've ever been a part of, ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm a retiree, and I've been wanting this for decades. Everybody I know I work with said we would love to be able to vote for our president,
our president.
Secretary, our vice president, all the whatever you want to call them. You get a chance to do it. Just don't blow it. Don't blow it.
All right.
This is Adrian.
Hey.
Can you hear me? Adrian, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you check your personal messages?
Probably.
All right. This is Jesse. I got a question for the committee. If I don't know if Brian's on or not. For Brian directly, for LaShawn. For Sharon Bell,
I said something earlier about how Curry made it clear to his supporters that they're going to be monitoring or getting updates, weekly updates from the monitor on the incoming ballots. Do you guys have access as candidates to this same claim that he has, that he's going to get weekly updates? Do you guys have that same access for the membership so we know?
I haven't asked, but I'm sure I can get it. If he gets it, I can get it. I'm a candidate. Now, you tell me what I need, and I need to write it down. I'll call him in the morning. I'll leave him a message tonight. He will respond to me.
I don't have that contact information. I'm going based on the fact that Ray Curry, in the same message that he said to his supporters after the candidate forum, and they had a meet and greet, and one of his things was, you know, vote often, vote early, mail often, mail early. He also stated that he will be getting weekly updates from the monitor as ballots start coming in, and if they do not see the numbers, then they are going to push harder. So he made a statement that he's able to get that, and I'm asking all of you on the show right now that are candidates or committee of the candidates, do you guys have that same access?
Here's my answer to this. I sent that videotape into the monitor. So they expressed to me that every member, doesn't matter whether him or me or you, if you actually just write this down, if you go to UAW vote ballots or something, I know the website, and you can see the count daily of how many ballots are coming in and what regions they're coming in from. That's all they have access to. And every member is able to go to this website and see it. I think Stephanie Riley, I think Stephanie at one time put it up. I think I might.
Well, I can say it right now. I can say it right now. It's uawmonitor.com/ballots with an S at the end. And then when you go on the main page, I know you can scroll down and it'll give you a little spot to say you need to request for a new ballot, but then it also gives you another spot right near that that allows you to check your ballot and tracking the number that was provided on the original envelope, mailing envelope, as well as the return envelope. And that's why in the directions of the mailing envelope, it said keep this envelope for your reference, the original envelope that everything came in. That way you could cross-reference that. As far as daily tracking of all the votes and by region, I haven't gone back on there and looked.
Yeah,
so
I'm going
to
tell you what the website for that is. Hold on. Because right now I know it wasn't up early. It was down. I guess they claimed somebody. But it's going to be uawvote.com. It's going to be vote count. Where is that? And it's been given daily updates on it. But I wasn't able to get on there today because it wasn't a lot of votes in. But it's
folks, that's about a minute to go.
All right.
We lost their great rock and roller, Jerry Lee Lewis, 87 years old. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, got it. I want to say something real quick before we close the show out tonight. All the listeners and people who are going to be downloading the show this week have got to hear what we heard tonight and maybe be surprised or shocked. Listen, we still have an opportunity to vote on the International Executive Board, okay?
Right.
And all I'm going to say is, look, if you want to vote for somebody who supports nepotism, to tolerate corruption, and have ill will towards the membership, that doesn't support crew solidarity by pushing concessionary contracts, which maintains keeping the membership divided by a tier system and money systems, you go ahead and you vote the caucus that's in place right now. Okay? You're given an opportunity right now to make a change. You've got a chance of doing something. Don't blow this. Think about it.
Sorry, hang on for a minute. That was supposed to stop. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Are you done, sir? Very good.
I'm done.
All right. We'll be back next Sunday night. Be sure to Yeah, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We've got a lot of people still in Switchboard. And do what Scott said. Do what Adrian says. Do what Carrie says. Oh, you little devil, you.
Say that. Put tape on your mouth.
Sharon, LaShawn.
Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Thank all of you. I mean, everybody's on. Thank you for voting. Welcome up.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, everybody. Be
very
careful.
Excited. I'm happy.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, sweetheart.